Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Happy Saturday morning, Chicago. It's November 13th. Welcome inside the clubhouse here in Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears are idle Sunday, but baseball never takes a weekend off, and we are here to discuss plenty of possibility in this offseason for the Cubs and the White Sox, and we are discussing it with the man who knows what's going to happen and who was out there in Carlsbad, California, GM meetings, our regular source of information and insight every Saturday morning. Bruce Levine joins me until 11 o'clock. Good morning, Bruce. How you doing?
David, don't sell yourself short, my friend. You are the co-host of this show. You drive the show, and you have an awful lot of your own information and context. And we are here, as David said, for you 52 weeks out of the year talking baseball on The Score. The number is 312-644-6767 to get in. Plenty to talk about where the Cubs and the White Sox are going. David, where would you like to start?
Well, we're going to start by at least setting an agenda, let people know what's coming up, because we're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers at 9:30. Bruce, thank you for lining up Mike Rizzo, the Nationals general manager, World Series winning general manager, Chicago guy made good. He'll join us here on the program. 10 o'clock, Russ Dorsey from the Sun-Times covers the Cubs very well for them. And also, we have our regular segment with people don't want to miss, Chicago Bound. We will throw out a couple players who might be possibilities for the Cubs and the White Sox. But as it pertains to the news of the week, I think that you were out there, and I'm curious from your perspective, Bruce. You did a terrific job for Marquee Sports Network interviewing Jed Hoyer, interviewing Carter Hawkins. I know the Cubs were the focus of your visit, but you are also there for Rick Hahn talking. You heard everyone speak. Just overall, the general sense of, do you feel like in this baseball, where we are right now, this baseball landscape as we head into November, and we're in the mid-November now, and that deadline, December 1st, looms, how active of an offseason will this be, not only for the Cubs and Sox, but for everybody as the CBA crisis looms?
Right, and that's a great point, David, that you bring up, and it's a good place to start, because as White Sox fans and Cub fans look to see who will be the part of their team, who won't be a part of their team in 2022, the CBA, which is, of course, the collective bargaining agreement between baseball's players' union and owners, is up on December 1st. That's only a short couple weeks away now. So from that perspective, what does that mean? That means that as of December 1st, unless there's any type of continuance that is agreed upon, which does rarely happens in these deadlines, if there's not an agreement on a new collective bargaining agreement between both sides, baseball stops working, okay? And that means that one or the other, and it's more likely that ownership would start a lockout at that point until there was a new agreement. A lockout means that baseball shuts down completely. There is no talking between teams. There is no talking between agents. Players and the teams they work for cannot talk to each other. It is a complete shutdown of the industry. And that would be not good for everybody involved, but it's a realistic thing that we're looking at here. So from all of that, your question, you know, bounces back at me. Did that impact these meetings and how people are doing business? And the answer to that, and I talked to 10 different presidents of teams or general managers, as well as a few managers that were there as well. None of them believe that it is stopping them at the present time from approaching, getting new players, making trades, or dealing with free agent signings. So we saw Andrew Heaney sign with the Los Angeles Dodgers as a free agent. We've right. seen a few minor things done. The agents were talking at length to the general managers and the presidents of teams, the agents for the players who are free agents. So it was like every GM meeting I've been to, and I think I've been to the last 27, they're the same activities, the same conversations, but they all agreed, David, that there is a dark cloud over the whole situation, and that if it came to signing a guy to a five-year deal, or it came to trading for a guy with a long-term contract, there would be some hesitation. I talked to a couple owners over the last few days. They said that there shouldn't be any fear for teams wanting to make trades for guys that have long-term contracts or signing long-term deals, because there would be a grace period for anything that was done before it occurred. However, there's still that hesitation, David.
So, Bruce, let me play this out because, you know, hypothetically speaking, and that's what we deal in here, is the hypotheticals. We speculate. We are a sports talk radio station. When you look at where we are, we have 17 days left before the deadline, December 1st. It's November 13th. Does the reality that you just described, and I think you did it well, but you look at guys at the top of the market, the Scott Boras clients, a lot of guys who are know they're going to get paid what they want to get paid, they're more likely to typically wait until the end. You don't see them maybe swooping in and signing a deal because they're afraid it's not going to be there. Do you think that the realities, as the ticking clock gets closer to toward December 1st, favors guys maybe either in the middle or the bottom of the respective markets at their positions? And I'm thinking specifically, there are about five or six shortstops that are considered elite shortstops. Could that benefit somebody, or could somebody take advantage of that, find a team that he likes and sign because I don't want to deal with the uncertainty and we don't know where this is headed?
It's a great question, because the fact that each individual franchise will probably have a different view of which way to go. For teams that are pretty much complete, let's just look at the White Sox, for example.
Okay,
that's a pretty complete team. They might need three little things to be done. One of them might be a big thing. They might sign or trade for a big pitcher. They might sign or trade for a second baseman. They might sign or trade for a right fielder. But that's a pretty complete team with an agenda for, hey, if the right guy's out there right now and we need to get this done, let's get it done in the next 2 weeks. Our team will be complete. We'll sit back with a smile on our face and our arms folded in front of us and wait for everything else to shake out, whether it takes till February, March, or April, and we'll be ready to go because we are a complete team. For a team like the Cubs, it might be a different thing altogether, because with so many areas, as Jed Hoyer admitted at the meetings, we have a lot of holes to fill. Do you start doing that with peripheral players, good players, but not long-term contracts, good players, but not necessarily players that you're going to have for 2 or 3 years? Do you start doing that before you know what the rules are and what, you know, what is the reality of a new CBA? I think for the Chicago teams, it might be two different variations, although to the credit of the Chicago Cubs, we saw a week ago them strike very fast on the waiver wire and pick up Wade Miley and quickly commit $10 million to him as one of their starting pitchers next year.
312-644-6767. What holes would you like to see the White Sox and the Cubs fill in this offseason? And would you like to see them strike quickly and take advantage of the next 17 days left before the CBA expires and we go into limbo, if that is indeed where baseball is headed, Bruce? And I want to get back to your presence at the meetings. I found it interesting that, you know, Jed Hoyer seemed as relaxed as ever, pretty confident, pretty – it just seemed like Jed Hoyer, watching you interview him on the Marquee Sports Network. Wondered what you thought the biggest takeaway was during that interview, and as you alluded to, how active do you think the Cubs will be, or does that depend on what happens with the CBA?
Well, as I talked to you on Thursday on Mully and Haw, the new enthusiasm that Hoyer is showing, as you pointed out, just the energy that it was exuding from him with a new front office and a new general manager and a new assistant general manager and a new direction going forward with the cloud of, you know, Theo Epstein, who was the ultimate boss, now a year away after he left, and Jed is the top baseball voice for the Chicago Cubs. I think it's just a kind of a push forward for him and the organization that they are clear, Theo. And by that, I don't mean it's a great thing that Theo's not there anymore, but that after a year of having to do some really difficult things, maybe, David, the most difficult things that any president or general manager has ever had to do in the history of the Chicago Cubs, if you think about it, trading away a World Series group, all-stars, and future, you know, possible Hall of Famers down the road, and all one swoop, there is that feeling that the monkey is off his back and he's ready to go. As far as the direction they're going, I just believe that right now there's plenty of areas to fill. You know, there's speculation that they might bring back Javier Baez. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but they will probably go out and get themselves a shortstop. There are needs that they have to fill. There's no question about it. How do you do that, and how much time? David, I'm going to ask you this. What is a realistic timeline in your mind for the Chicago Cubs to be a competitive team, just not to try to win 80 to 85 games, but a competitive team once again for the future?
Well, Bruce, I'm of the mindset, and it may be naive at times, but I believe that if you're in Chicago and you have the wherewithal and the resources the Cubs do, that you should be competitive next year. And by that, I mean you're in the 85 to 90 win range, and we know what can happen, and we just saw what can happen. If you win 88 and get into the playoffs and take a you-never-know approach, you never know, Atlanta Braves. You might be planning a parade and speeding through it after you win a World Series. So if you're the Chicago Cubs, I approach this offseason, yeah, okay, you traded everybody. You made history. You got rid of nine guys, and you got all these prospects, and look at us now. But that doesn't excuse you from having a mulligan, pardon the co-host reference, but you don't get a mulligan in 2022. I think you have to be competitive. I think you have to put a team out there that's capable of getting to the wild card at least. I don't know that you're going to beat the Brewers, but you look at the division, Bruce, and you tell me, how many teams are trying to win that division and how many teams are now accepting they're going to lose it? Because you have the Reds and the Pirates now conceding essentially before we know what's going to happen with the CBA. So if you're the Cubs, you pounce. You take advantage of that. You go out and you supplement your roster. You use your resources, and you put yourself in a position to get to the playoffs.
Do you consider 23, 24, 25 as you're making your moves?
I do think you can do both. I do think that you have to be shrewd enough to try to be on parallel tracks, in that you don't disrespect or mortgage the future, but you can also be more competitive in the present. And I don't know that it's either or when you're dealing. And again, that's where maybe some people will have some, you know, that's frankly where the argument is open for criticism, or some people can poke some holes in it. But I do think that you can have parallel tracks aligned where you can compete without necessarily saying that you have abandoned your future or forgotten it. And I think the Cubs are in that situation because they protected the future by unloading and conceding when they did in July of last summer. Now that they have done that, okay, reload and try to do what you can to compete in 2022.
So in other words, look at the future, get players maybe that are projectable for 3, 4, 5 years that you can hold on to, but also maybe 2 or 3 more Wade Miley's that can help you compete in 2022 and be flippable at the trade deadline if it's not working out?
I think that means, yeah, the Wade Miley sneaky good signing is a good example. Maybe you can find another starting pitcher. Maybe you can piece together rotation. Maybe you want to spend your big money, your big ticket is a starting pitcher if he's available. But you go out and you get either a Castellanos or a Correa or somebody who is a big ticket item that reflects how many resources you still do have. And then you find a way to supplement your pitching because that's what you still do need. And you try to do both. And you keep your head above water in 2022 and you flirt with the playoffs and maybe sneak in. And then in 2023, you're in a position to do more damage, Bruce. But I don't like the idea of a big market team like the Cubs with the tradition they have come to now represent going into any season feeling like, okay, we're accepting the fact that we're going to be worse than 500, because to me, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, I don't see that happening necessarily. And I think the points you make are really good ones. The Cubs have always had, except for a few brief moments here and there, they've always had a superstar at least to at least, I wouldn't say placate the Cub fans, but to someone to entertain and sell tickets around. Right now, as we speak in the offseason, they don't necessarily have that. And I don't think that should be the goal of the organization, to just sell tickets. Because the Cubs will always sell tickets because they're the Cubs. But the idea that you want to hold on to what you've gained all over these years, the Cubs have done a terrific job of building up the great Cub brand to the point where people, it's a must-go place. You don't want that to slip very much further. So from the point of bringing in a star or two, and maybe bringing back a star, you must get the attention of your fan base. I mean, that's essential here.
Well, that's what I wondered, Bruce, before we slip in a phone call here. Did you get a sense of the Cubs' priorities as they pertain to locking up Wilson Contreras long-term, signing a big-ticket free agent this offseason, or positioning themselves with their minor league system for the future with prospects? I mean, those three things, I think, are all big points of conversation this offseason, but if you had to prioritize them, how do you think the Cubs do?
Getting pitching prospects that fit in now and for the future, and okay. rebuilding and trying to compete and win in a different way than they did the last time, David, where they did a terrific job of finding young players in the draft and drafting very high and being able to come up with the guys like Bryant and Schwarber and eventually Happ, and then filling in with free agents, pitching, because they put most of their payroll over the last 5 or 6 years toward pitching. I think they're going to do it the opposite way, by pushing as hard as they can to find young pitching, develop young pitching, and then fill in along the way with hitting. I think that's the direction they're going, and I think it's the right way to go.
Bruce, the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. And that is where we find Riles out in Gridley. Good morning, Riles. Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Good morning, David. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks, Bruce. Congratulations on getting your questions in to Boros. And for being having your finger on the pulse of baseball. Now, my question is, with you having talked to some of the bigwigs out there, are they prepared for the backlash that's going to go on with lifelong baseball fans such as myself if they ramrod through the universal DH? I really don't want that. It fundamentally changes the game. I love baseball, always have, but this is it for me. I can't take it if they go to Universal DH. What is going to happen?
Riles, thanks for the call. And you know, it's a good one because, like Riles, David, I've always been a National League guy as far as the way the game is played. However, to be honest with you, after getting a taste of it last year, David, in 2020, when both sides used it, I would have to say I didn't miss it as much as I thought I would. Okay,
no.
I wonder what your take is on it.
You won't miss it. You won't miss it.
What's your take?
Nobody wants to see pitchers hit. I don't want to see. I'm tired of watching guys who were great on the mound look so overmatched at the plate. I don't think that's necessarily important to preserve baseball's integrity. I think that it's time to move on. Everybody needs to accept having a DH makes a lot more sense than letting the pitcher go up to the plate and flail aimlessly three times at a fastball
right.
He can't catch up to.
Quickly before the break, I'll make this point. Baseball struggles mightily to score runs, period, right now. They need all the help they can get, and DH is probably the right way to go to help the National League at least come up a 2 or 3 points in batting average.
And we agree 20 minutes into this show, Bruce. We are in agreement on 1 point.
I guarantee you it won't happen again today.
Okay. Let's make sure of that. But next, we both agree our next guest is a great get and a good guy to talk to when it comes to baseball, when it comes to Chicago, when it comes to anything. Mike Rizzo, the Washington Nationals general manager, World Series winning general manager, joins us next inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Mike Rizzo, the general manager. Dave Martinez, the field manager. Here they are, one strike away, one out away. 3-2. Here it is! The Washington Nationals are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine here until 11 o'clock. Talking baseball like we do 52 weeks out of the year. That was a highlight from the 2019 World Series where the Washington Nationals won, and I'm sure that our next guest never gets tired of listening to that one. And it's time now to go to the guest hotline sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And that's where we find a Chicago guy made good, the president of the Washington Nationals, Mike Rizzo. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Doing well. We're here with Bruce, and we're talking baseball till 11. But before we get there, Mike, got to ask, how are the Bears handling Justin Fields? I know you're watching closely.
Well, you know, it was kind of a crazy start for a talented player. And, you know, I'm no expert on how to develop football players. But, yeah, it's tough when you throw a young kid in there that's not surrounded by talent to make it competitive. So he's got some challenges ahead of him, but what I've seen him in at Ohio State, he handled it. He handles it pretty well. He's got a great skill set to play in the NFL. So,
good morning, Mike.
That was a political answer.
Good morning, Mike. It was great seeing you in person again. And tell us initially what it's like just to be together with the other GMs again and presidents of teams like yourself, and just the feel good of hopefully moving, you know, further away from COVID times and back to normal times for baseball.
Yeah, it brings a little bit more normality to the situation, you know, and it's nice to see guys that you haven't seen for a while, but it's really easier, way easier to do business. You know, it's got that personal interaction. you're having meetings, then your breakaways. You see GMs in the corner doing some discussions and that type of thing, and it really makes doing business, making trades, a heck of a lot easier because you're within arm's length of other people. So it was great to see you guys. It was good to get back into a little bit of a normal routine and talk baseball face to face with some people.
So speaking of that, Mike, the conversation among baseball fans and sports radio stations and people who talk sports everywhere is, has the CBA affected conversations as usual between presidents of teams and general managers and agents and the ability to make trades? Is there a cloud over whether you should or shouldn't pull the trigger before the CBA situation is decided?
Well, there really has not. We're treating things as business as usual. If opportunities are out there that make sense for us, we're certainly not going to wait around to make those decisions. We're usually an aggressive team early on in the off season, and that's not going to change. And I think that's kind of in the sentiment of everybody I spoke to is that we are going to do our business the way we've always done it, and I think that's the blueprint that a lot of teams have right now.
So, Mike, I guess when you look at your off season, the most commonly asked question you'll have to face is what to do with Juan Soto. And your history with Scott Boras dealing is a good one, and you have had some successful negotiations. But when you wake up earlier this week and you see the Washington Post giving you advice of offering a $500 million over 15 years, it tells you the kinds of things and that you're up against. How would you frame those discussions, and how would you prioritize that in terms of what your offseason is going to bring?
Well, I think the of utmost long-term importance for us is to make Juan Soto a long-term member of the Washington Nationals. Now, let's not forget, we have him for three more years to begin with. We certainly would like to have him here for a really long time, and he is our priority. He's a guy that we plan to build around. He's a key part of our 2019 World Championship, and he's one of the best players in the game. And you see that the game and the talent base is getting younger and faster and better, and he certainly is one of the greats in the game. And we're fortunate enough that our scouts saw him early on in his career. We signed him, developed him, and he's turned into a star for us in the big leagues before our eyes.
Chicago's own Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball operations for the Washington Nationals, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse this Saturday morning. And Mike, how are presidents and general managers held hostage of contracts that other people sign? In other words, is a Mike Rizzo or a Dave Dombrowski or a Jed Hoyer held hostage by the situations where a Mike Trout signs a 10-year deal, a Fernando Tatis signs a 13-year deal? And by all definition, these are the greatest players in the game. They deserve the most money. But how much do you feel that it's out of your control sometimes when you have a superstar and somebody's already dictated what price those superstars are worth?
Well, Bruce, it's a good question, but I think my answer is always, all these situations and scenarios are different because each individual is different. Each player has different needs and wants. I think that relationships are probably the most important aspect of trying to get a long-term deal done. You're talking about allocating a lot of years and a lot of money to a single player, and we've done it in the past. We've signed long-term lucrative contracts with players that have worked out, and I always say when you start talking about 5, 6, 7, 10-year deals that you're talking about, you know, you're signing the person as well as much as the player. That's how I think about it. What type of person are you getting? Do you want that person to retire with the Washington Nationals uniform on? And those are the guys that if your answer is yes, we want this guy long term, then you have to do everything you can to get him signed. And sometimes it works, and sometimes you get the player signed long term, and sometimes it doesn't work out for that player. So but I think that you always have to negotiate and talk to players in good faith. You have to have a great relationship with them, so they trust that your franchise is going in the right direction. You'll be a good caretaker for his career and for the organization. And I think if you have that rapport and that relationship, and the money lines up, I think that you have a solid chance of keeping your own.
And Mike, I think when you look at what you've done with the Nationals, it's remarkably consistent. You know, year in and year out, it seems you pivot and do whatever you need to do, given the season, given the moment, given the economic climate. And I heard I read a comment from you this week where you said you basically just stay true to the plan. It's a tried and true plan. And so often in sports, whether it's, I kidded about the Bears or whatever it is with the Bulls, and we know in different teams and different stages, the plan sometimes changes. But when you say stay true to the plan, how would you describe your plan?
Well, our plan is to always has been to do this thing through scouting and player development. We've got as good as scouts in the field as anyone in baseball. We developed some of the most impactful players in the game. You can run down the roster of players that we've drafted and signed, and you just look at this year. A good chance you have the American League Cy Young Award winner in Robbie Ray, a National League Cy Young Award winner in Max Scherzer, MVP candidates in Soto and Harper. Those are all drafted, developed, and signed by our group. And so those are impactful players. We've been lucky and had some great impact players drafted by our scouts. International people are signing superstar players. And our development people are getting them major league ready. So I think the tried and true method is to draft and sign your own and develop them into stars and to sprinkle in there when the time is right to sprinkle in there major league free agents and acquire players in any venue you can, draft, free agent, international free agent, trade market. So there's a whole bunch of ways to acquire players, and our goal is our bar is high. We've gone through the last 11 years. We've been a championship caliber club. We've won as many games as anybody in baseball, except for two or three different teams. We've won four division titles, a world wild card championship, and a world championship in 15 short years of being in existence. So we've gone through this rebuild process before, this reboot. Bruce, you'll remember this. In 2009, when I took over as a GM, we have coming off two 100 loss seasons. And 3 short years later, we won 98 games, the most in Major League Baseball. So we've been through this before. We've got a blueprint on how to do it the right way. We're well on our way on rebooting this process and with great support from our ownership and the community, I think that you're going to see us successful in the very, very near future again.
Mike, what is the magic, what is the key to working with Scott Boras and cutting through all of the initial stuff and getting down to business with one of the more brilliant baseball people and minds in the game who controls some of the greatest players in the game?
Well, I think the important fact is, and Scott recognizes this all the time, Scott Boras and every other agent works for the players. It's not vice versa. So, the player is the boss, and he dictates and directs what he wants their representatives to do. And again, I go back to, if you have that good relationship with the players, with your player, and you've treated them right in the past, and you map out a blueprint of consistent winning and consistent caretaking of a franchise, I think you have a really good chance to to lock people up for the long term because they like to be there and they want to be there. Now, the money's got to work. We all know that. Said it best. The great players are making a lot of money, which they deserve. You know, Sinatra made a lot of money too. When you should see him singing. So these guys are the best at their craft. They're elite athletes and elite players. They're one of the top 700 baseball players in the world. And you're talking to the top 1% of that very, very small number. So, you know, whatever they get, they deserve. And I always say, what is a player worth? The player is worth what he can get. And I think that it's a process that works well. And I think that, talent plays and you have to have impactful guys to win in the big leagues.
Mike, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about a guy that you acquired and then traded, Kyle Schwarber, who people here in Chicago came to appreciate for a very long time, and in the Cubs fans' case, always will. What was that experience like, and how gratifying was it to see actually Kyle have some success in the postseason and make the most of that opportunity?
Well, Schwarber is unbelievable with our club. He fit in seamlessly. He's a great guy. He's a fun-loving guy, but works hard and hates to lose. And that's a great formula for our organization. He fit in like a glove in the clubhouse, in the community, and of course between the lines, he was great. He started off slow, like our whole team did. You know, we had that big COVID outbreak early on. 11 players had to be put on the COVID list. It started our season off right after. It was opening day, but I've been around baseball a long time. I've never seen a month like Kyle Schwarber had when he went on that power tear. I remember talking with Davey in Davey's office when we were struggling and we were kicking around different ways to maybe jumpstart the team and that type of thing. And we discussed moving Schwarbs to the leadoff role. Unconventional and all that stuff. And Davey said they had done it with the Cubs a few times. And we said, well, what the hell? We have nothing. What do we got to lose here? We're playing terrible. And Schwarber accepted the role and went on a tear. And really, we were really going in the right direction. We went from, I think, 8 or 9 games out of first place when Schwarber got hot. And we're about 2 games out of first base, if I remember correctly, when he hit that double, took the turn around first base and blew out. And that was really the beginning of the end of our season. So it was unfortunate for us that he got injured. But he was terrific while he's here. And he was missed. When he came back with Boston at the end of the season, he got a resounding reception by the fan base. And that's for a guy who played for us, for about 3 or 4 months. If that tells you everything you need to know about Kyle Schwarber.
On a personal and Chicago note, we lost one of the great baseball men in the last 60 years, and a guy that probably was walking around your house and coming in and talking to your dad when you were 6, 7, 8, 10 years old. Baseball lost Art Stewart, one of the great baseball people and scouts, last week at age 94. Just talk a few minutes about the impact of Art on you personally in the game of baseball.
Well, yeah, Artie was, he was near and dear to my heart. He was one of my dad's best friends. And you're right. I remember going to Art's tryout camps when I was just a kid. And so I've known him for 52 years or something like that. It was always great when I would run into him out in the field somewhere at a high school game or a college game, or obviously when we played the Royals or in the Arizona Fall League. He was always a breath of fresh air. He always had a positive outlook and attitude, and he used to always tell me to respect the game and remember how fortunate we are to work in it because it's not a right, it's an honor. So you have to always remember that. So he made a big impact on me and a big impact on the industry and he'll be missed. So we're losing a lot of those. We're losing a lot of them. We lost, Nick Hamzik years ago, and Chuck Coney has always been, one of my mentors, and, right. and, uh, now Artie Stewart and my dad, it's that time of our lives where we're starting to lose these mentors and hopefully we'll see these type of people again in our game and they'll continue to have these great baseball mentors in the game, teaching the young guys how to play the game, teaching the young executives how to be caretakers of the game and to treat this game with kid gloves, because it's a tough business, but it's often fragile at times, and we have to really realize that the fans are the most important part of this thing, and we have to make sure that we're doing right by them.
You're well put, Mike. Thank you so much.
Yep. Yeah, spoken like a true Chicagoan. You might live in Washington and Florida, but you'll always be a Chicagoan. Mike, thanks a million for joining us today. Have a great offseason. I'll see you hopefully at the winter meetings in another few weeks.
Sounds good. Always a pleasure, Bruce.
Enjoy the second half of the Bears season, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
All right, Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball operations for the Washington Nationals. Bruce, good stuff there. Especially at the end, you can hear the sincerity in his voice when he talks about the game and the people who have been important to him over the years. We have to move on. We have more talk about the GM meetings out in California. Get your impressions of Scott Boras next here inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
For me, Bryant, he's tall, he's statured. He's kind of the Sean Connery of Major League Baseball. Okay, so when you think of him, the image, we have to be formally Hollywood about this, but the image of Sean Connery is kind of he has positional versatility that makes him untouchable. He has Bond-like abilities to create a great middle of the lineup. He's always red hot in the hunt for October. He's an extraordinary gentleman and is in a league of his own.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. Yeah, that was a voice of Scott Boras, super agent and assistant baseball commissioner, it seems. His words carry a lot of weight, Bruce. They also can be nonsensical at times. Mixture of both, I think, this week at the GM meetings. You were there. You even got a question in. What was your overall impression when Scott Boras is done holding court, when you walk away shaking your head, and I imagine you did, what are you thinking?
Well, I just ignore all the hyperbole and just get my questions in directly. I got a couple questions in directly about free agents, directly about will you meet with the White Sox? And he said yes. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we come up with some of the players that might be involved with the White Sox and Boras conversations in our future segment here of Chicago Bound. But David, he knows that I don't listen to all the BS and that I just tone it out. He's an entertaining guy. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. Way beyond, all the hype and having the best players in the game and, controlling the game pretty much is one of the real powers of the game because of the players he controls. He's a brilliant guy. So I've heard this act, for the last...
Sure.
Gosh, goes back to Greg Maddux signing with Atlanta. What's that, 1993? It's just that was his first real big free agent signing for Boras.
But if his intended audience is only – the only audience that matters are the teams that he's negotiating with or the executives that he's dealing with, why does he put on the public production, which is basically geared toward the media and fans and – and makes us wonder, is this a guy who is brilliant? He is brilliant, but is the way that he conducts this kind of business publicly good for baseball or a ridiculous distraction?
Oh, no, it's essential to him recruiting other players because he's known as the agent to the stars, David. It's important that he keeps his name out there. He knows it's goofy and that it's over the top, but, here in this offseason here, one of the top free agents was coming up off of a career year, and that's Marcus Semien 45 home runs, been with his agent for a while, a long time. All of a sudden, he's in a position to make himself money, you know, generational money for his family and way beyond by signing a 5, 6, or 7 year deal at age 30, moving on 31 after coming off 45 home runs. He switched agents. He's now a Scott Boras client. That type of hype, that type of high profile, that type of conversation of him believing that no matter what they say about you, it's the only thing important is that they talk about you. I think that's why Scott Boras does all that, you know, dog and pony show and the, you know, all the, you know, Shecky Green lines. It's all part of keeping his name and agency out there, and nobody's ever done it better.
I would like to know, though, in terms of time allotment and, you know, when you get billable hours, you start to look at the receipts and be like, okay, analytics research here, and okay, legal.
I know where you're going.
How often?
One-liners.
Yeah, how much time does he devote to this? And how big is his team of writers? How many writers? He's got a better staff than Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, this is a guy that is, you know, coming up with the stuff, and he's practicing the, as you described on Thursday, Bruce, isn't he reading it off his iPhone, and he's doing the whole performance art for the microphone, not necessarily the cameras?
He combines a scientist's mind, a businessman's brilliance, and a savvy beyond anybody else. He's also the top salesman in the game. So once a player sits down with him and his crew, they come over. He is, no matter how strange it sounds, there's a reason why he's been the top agent in the game for over 25 years.
Geez, Bruce, if you throw in a metaphor or two, he's going to want to hire you if you have the platitudes for Scott Boras.
You have to tip your hat to the best. I mean, on top of it, we haven't even talked about the fact that he is pretty much in charge of, with this guy, Bruce Meyer, of handling the negotiations for the CBA from the player's side of view. So he won't admit it, and he'll step away from it. But believe me when I tell you, that's a fact.
A lot of power, a lot of stuff, and we'll talk about later in terms of his input and control over some players that both the White Sox and Cubs are interested in talking to this offseason. We're going to have a full final hour here on Inside the Clubhouse. It kicks off next. Russ Dorsey from the Sun-Times, he covers the Cubs. He will join Bruce and I when we come back. Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.